We have arrived at what you may be asking, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Can you believe it? 6 months later, here we stand at the final thought of Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount. I hate that so many people are missing this morning. They're just going to miss out on the concluding thoughts, right, Aaron? So that's on them, not us. Hey, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24 this morning. And this is a story most of us are going to be super familiar with. This is a story that you've heard from your childhood if you grew up in the church. This idea of house building and foundation. And so this isn't an unfamiliar story, but it's interesting if we put it and tie it in context with the Sermon on the Mount. Because this story has more meat to it than oftentimes we teach in our little songs that we sing to young kids. It's interesting to me that a lot of the stories that we teach in Bible class to little kids, even as adults, we have a hard time moving past that simple understanding sometimes. I'll wait till my grandson makes it back to his seat. So let's read this morning and let's dig a little bit past the song. How's that? It says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock, on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So, y'all know the song, right? I'm not going to make you sing it, don't worry. But this is something we taught. I mean, this is something I can remember as I was thinking and reading this text this week. I was thinking back of my childhood and children's church and hearing this song and kind of playing it over in my head. And it's so easy to get it back into that place. I think oftentimes when there's familiar stories of David and Goliath and some of these super familiar stories that we've heard, that we just leave it there and we don't ever dig back into what was Jesus talking about here? Because there's some things that he says here that are incredibly profound that I think we should draw some information from. The first is, as we've been traveling through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is identifying himself as something special. And people are starting to catch this a little bit. And so as he's identifying himself, we understand that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so we see imagery and connectivity oftentimes in Scripture. And the first connection that I think is important for us to make is when Moses comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. This is God's word. This is God's, listen to God. You know, multiple times Moses says, listen to the words of God. And it's, I want you to kind of picture, if you will, Moses saying that he said so many times, these are the words of God, listen to the words of God. Now I want you to think about Jesus as he's been giving us this Sermon on the Mount, as he's been challenging us to do some incredibly difficult things, to live a completely different kind of life. I want you to hear what he says and how he starts this, because I think it's profoundly important that you see some of the divine nature of Christ in this text. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine." Notice how Moses and oftentimes the prophets, when they speak, they're saying, listen to the words of God. Listen and behold to the words of God. What's Jesus say? Listen to my words. Do you guys hear the connection? That gives me goosebumps when I hear that. Because oftentimes I don't think we do a good enough job I think sometimes we don't, we kind of, are there things you understand intellectually, but they just don't go much further than that? Or is that just me? I'm not very smart. But there's some things that you just know, like gravity. Everybody believe gravity exists? Can you explain it? Yeah, probably not. You know, there's some in here that are like, oh, I could take a shot at that. Right? But we understand the concept, but we don't oftentimes dig past the concept. And I think sometimes we understand in here that this idea of Jesus and God. But I don't know that we just really spend much time thinking about the realness and the fullness that Jesus isn't just some guy. He's not just separate and apart from God. He is connected to who God is. He is God. And so when he says this, he says, I want you to understand this. Listen to these words of mine. And I want you to hear the claim he's making when he makes that statement. Because everyone before him says, listen to the words of God. And he's saying, listen to my words. And so what are his words? Because this isn't just about house building. All right? I love that Jesus likes painting these pictures for us. And it's super simple for us to get. And oftentimes I think there's something great about simple-mindedness. Now, when we hear that term in today's society, we don't think of it as a good term, right? But I got to believe Adam and Eve were simple-minded before they ate of the wrong tree. Because they didn't know the difference between good and bad. They just knew God created them, and they got to hang out with him. How many of y'all live a pretty, don't raise your hand, okay? How many of y'all live a super complicated life and look back to when you were, I don't know, 22 maybe? And go, oh, I wish it was that simple. Before I had kids and before I had all these other things that my mind has to worry about, before I had this job and before I had a 401k or a house payment or repairs on the house, life's complicated sometimes, isn't it? And do we not long sometimes for the simple-mindedness? This place where we could just not have so many distractions in life. Got to hang out with Bruce a little bit this week. And man, he and I have been talking lately about one of my big distractions. It's called airport hangar. Spent 2.5 years of my life building airport hangars. And I will not lie to you. That was one of the most frustrating 2.5 years of my life. Because I know absolutely nothing about building hangars, all right? Nor the bureaucracy to get it done. But the reality is, as I'm starting to conclude that project, I can feel my mind start freeing up a little bit. And I think sometimes this idea that there's this, that just keep things simple, I think sometimes helps us. But in the simplicity, I want you to see God. Because in the simplicity is God. And so as he paints this simple picture, he's saying there's something fundamental here. He's saying the person who hears my words and does it. Oh, could have you just left out the does it? Because we kind of like hearing things, but it's complicated sometimes putting it into practice, isn't it? And so I want you to think about it. Let's utilize the parable that Jesus gives in this. He's saying, listen, the person who hears, how many of y'all have heard good counsel and not followed it? You can go ahead and raise your hand. And I should see every hand raise on that one. Because there's times, because it doesn't fit our narrative, right? It doesn't fit what we want to do. And so as a result, we hear it. Hunter and I, can I pick on you a little? Hunter's like, hey, never mind. I'm not even going to ask permission. I'm just going to do it. Right, Monty? You gave me permission. Right, Monty? Hey, so Hunter tells me, hey, I need to hang a gate at my property. And I'm like, okay. So I went and measured it. And I said, 16-foot gate's perfect. I said, you got a wood post on this end. And you got a pipe on this end. I want to hook to the pipe. I'm like, well, I don't have a drill bit that'll go through a pipe. Kind of need a torch, blow a hole, and oh no, I got this. Like, okay, so I met him out there yesterday, and we almost got one hole drilled, right? And it's because sometimes it's like, you hear it, but it doesn't really fit my timeline. You hear something, but it doesn't always fit, and as a result, sometimes we'll discount information because it doesn't line up with me. And I want you to hear, in building a house, sometimes, I love this image. How many of y'all have ever dug in the sand? It's easy, right? I mean, that's why people build sandcastles. Because they can do it with a bucket and a plastic shovel. And it's just easy. And you can make these incredible straight lines. And how many of y'all ever dug into rocks? A little bit more complex, right? And so one is just really quick and super easy, and you're like, ah, oh, check it out, and you get done, and you're like, ta-da. And then the tide rises, right? And what happens? Bye-bye. And that's the reality of what we see, is we're saying, listen, a person who just hears my words and doesn't do my words isn't going to have a foundation to base anything on. Even though it might look right, even though it might seem right, and again, foreshadowing into the temple, the house of God. And you see this idea when Jesus approaches. We talked about this a little bit 2 weeks ago, I think. You see this idea of Jesus approaching the temple, and from the outside, it looks right. But they forgot the foundation. You know, nobody pays attention to the foundation until you have to pay attention to the foundation. Am I right? I can remember that we had a really wet year when we lived up north of town. We had a really wet year. And Lana and I had been gone somewhere. We got home. And for some, I don't even remember why, but for some reason, I do know. I needed to bury a ground thing for possible internet. And so I was going to go under the house. I opened the crawl space to go into the house, and it looks like a swimming pool. I mean, it's full of water. And I'm like, oh boy, we got a problem, right? And it's like, that's kind of foundations. You don't know you have a problem until you got a problem. And so when Jesus says, hear these words of mine, and don't just hear them, but do them, what's he talking about? I don't know, the whole Sermon on the Mount. Y'all know this is the concluding idea in this series that we've been doing. What is it that you don't want me to just hear, but you actually want me to put into practice? I don't know, love your enemies. I don't know, seek me. We've been going through months and months of Jesus' teaching, and he's not teaching these things just so we're going, man, that's brilliant. I wish I could have come up with that. And then walk out and not do anything. Jesus is saying, I don't want you to just hear my words. You need to do my words. And if you'll do that, you are laying a foundation that will withstand the storms that are coming. Now, last time I checked, there's not a single person in here that hadn't endured a storm of some magnitude in your life. Trouble, trials. It could be health. It could be your own desires. Yeah, I mean, you name it. When I say that, there's something that popped into every single person's mind. And Jesus is saying, those storms are coming. One of the things that he is telling his disciples is there's trouble coming. Are you ready? There's trouble coming. Are you prepared? Well, Jesus, I don't know. Because what's it look like to be prepared? It looks like this. It looks like not just hearing what I'm saying and calling it a good lesson, not just listening to a podcast and going, wow, that was profound, and then moving on with your own existence, not just listening to wisdom and then choosing something that aligns with what your desires are. And see, the process that Jesus is trying to create for his disciples, don't forget that the Sermon on the Mount was really intended for his disciples, his 12, and a lot of people were hearing it. What he's telling his 12 is, there's trouble coming. But what I want, he didn't start with that. He started with just teaching them. And now he's gotten to the place that's going to put the exclamation point on all the teaching. He's saying, all these things that I've been sharing with you, all these things that seem difficult, I want you to understand that they're difficult, but they're not near as difficult as trying to weather a storm without a good foundation. Because there's no one that likes to go through a storm when they've got no roots. They've got nothing to hang on to. And so your house might look good from the outside. Your heart might look good from the outside. But who are you on the inside? You know, all of Jesus is teaching through this entire sermon, through these several chapters in the book of Matthew, all of them have to do with who are you here? We've become professionals. I've mentioned this multiple times because it's the thing that stands out to me the most as I've studied the Sermon on the Mount. We've become professional behavior modifiers. We know the behavior that's accepted in society. We know the behavior that's accepted in church. We know the right way to act. We know what mask and what face to put on. But Jesus is saying through the entire Sermon on the Mount, it's not about behavior modification. It's not about what's going on the outside. It's what's here. That's kind of why I like this, that central theme through that section that I really gravitated towards, because I think it helped me personally see God in all of this, was Jesus' definition of a hypocrite. You know, it's so easy for us to look to the outside world and go, man, just a bunch of heathens, right? Just, wow, can't believe they're doing that. And we're doing the right things. But are we qualifying ourselves as a hypocrite how Jesus would define hypocrite? Because Jesus says a hypocrite is somebody who does the right thing for the wrong reason. He's saying, hey, your actions are right. Pharisees, man, you guys, what does Paul say? To the law? Blameless. Wow. That's pretty profound. There's a lot of good law keepers. Lana, we've talked about that. Lana's a rule follower. I'm a bender. Hunter's a breaker. Still trying to figure Jaden out. It's only been 5 years, so still trying to figure out what she is. Both of my grandsons are breakers. But we've learned over time, especially in adulthood, we poke at kids a little bit, but us adults, we've just gotten better at it. Y'all know that, right? We're just a bunch of grown-up two-year-olds that have just gotten better. Better at what? Modifying our behavior to be acceptable in the environment that we reside in. Whether that's this environment, my home environment, my work environment, what environment have you determined and figured out how to function in? And now we're trying to take God, we're trying to take Jesus and align him to who we are. Instead of taking Jesus and saying, listen, align us to him. If you want to build your house on a firm foundation, the foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's really that simple. And if you want to align yourself and be someone who can withstand storms, if you're not built on that foundation, you're not going to withstand any storms. You might make it through a few, would just beat up a little bit, but the reality is you're not going to weather it. Because since the curse, we're all in that period of time in life, the consequences of sin are death. That's us. There's only life in Jesus Christ. There's only life in Jesus Christ. So I don't care. I don't even think Jesus cares what your house looks like. What he genuinely cares about is the foundation's right. When Lana and I used to, I make it sound like we've only done this once in our life, when we put carpet in our house. Anybody ever put carpet in? Carpet's fairly inexpensive for in terms of floor covering. But man, we always bought the really good pad. Nobody normally buys the good pad because you don't see it. The carpet can be changed, but good pad? Come on now. You know, when the boys peed on the carpet, it didn't go through. It was nice and cushy, right? We paid the money for the pad. And Jesus is saying, hey, spend your time here. Spend your time on the foundation. Everything else is right if you spend your time here. And so as Jesus is teaching this, he's concluding not just this idea, and this is how it's always been presented in children's church, right? And just build your house upon the rock. Everybody knows that song. But what Jesus is doing in this moment, he's concluding not just this thought. He's concluding an entire series of lessons that he's been teaching his disciples. Difficult lessons. Lessons that I would look at 6 months ago and go, phew, not me. Can't do that. Did you really say that? Don't forget, we started this series with that question. Jesus, did you really say that? Did you really call me to that? He really did. And he called you to that place to get to this place where you not only know and understand and appreciate the value of a foundation, you desire it more than anything else. Because you know without this foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, not just in the ability to hear his words, but to do his words, you know that the rest is possible. It's possible. I think we need to know the Sermon on the Mount is possible. But Jesus got to start modifying your heart. I want to end with this. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. We've spent the last 6 months studying a lot of red letter text from one who has authority. What kind of authority? The authority that we started this lesson today with. Hear these words. Of mine, because I and the Father are one. When Jesus speaks, he's speaking of God, with God, and through God. And we need to listen to his words. My challenge for us this morning, we all understand house building. We may not be good at it, but we all understand it. We also understand what it's like to build something on something that will last versus something that won't. My challenge is for us is that these teachings of Jesus throughout the Sermon on the Mount are teachings that will benefit not just you, but benefit the body. But if we understand that each of these things is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it makes it possible. Not easy, but possible. So my challenge for us this morning is choose to build your house on the only foundation that offers life. No other foundation offers the life of Jesus Christ. So if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, I ask that you come as Monty leads us in an invitation song.